This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Jumping out the crock pot. Overtime. Oh, my goodness. Nell. You had him fired up. You know, you have become, Ben, you were his partner in crime today. I'm ashamed. You should be ashamed of yourself. But you guys had it going. And you lit it up. And he did complete the challenge. Unless it's AI.
AI,
that's my only reservation.
That's not possible. Not yet.
Well, AI is possible.
Not with for Linnell.
Why not?
Linnell's different. I don't think AI could regenerate him and what he brings to the table here. I just don't.
Well, the AI is capable of doing anything. That's my only reservation. But I believe it was him. I thought he did a heck of a job. Joe Smoking Joe McKay for over 30 years in this market has been doing a fantastic job. And now, since wagering is an intricate part of our DNA, it's for real, as young folks would say, I thought it was appropriate to come off the Derby with Smoking Joe McKay to, you know, well, obviously he's a winner. Otherwise, his phone back in the day used to be a busy signal for those of you my age. Now, young folks made it so you always available, which is not smart. But anyway, we'll go with that. Joe, congratulations on what by your voice means it was a successful outing for you at the Derby. Congratulations.
Thank you, Doc. Yes, for a sloppy, muddy day at Churchill Downs, my phone was ringing off the hook hours before from a lot of people that I haven't, you know, heard from in a while, who have access to DraftKings, to FanDuel, now that you could play horse racing on most of the sports apps. So it was busy, and trying to explain to people how to bet it is another is another process that you really. I wish I had a school to be able to grab 100 people, which I've done before at Sagamore Farm, and tell them how to bet the Kentucky Derby. So the value to me in the race, I had loved journalism, Doc, and I was all over them. and I had him in future bets. And
you looked good for a long while.
I did. I did. I was jumping up and down, but then I saw the blue silks of Godolphin, and I knew that was sovereignty. And you know, like in car races, how cars draft up to other cars, right?
Yeah.
And horses, the jockeys do the same thing, so they follow another horse. And when I saw the blue silks coming, now I had, like, my biggest bet was those two horses and with Baeza running third, and that was the outcome. So I figured to hedge my bet and then to really bet what I really liked, the only two horses that could beat me, I thought, were Sovereignty and Baeza. So, you know, I was second. Sovereignty won. Baeza almost beat me for second, but I had boxed it. So that really didn't matter. You know, the tough thing to the people that are new at playing horse racing, you're not going to get, you know, you're going to get value at betting a horse to win, but betting the horse to win at, let's say, 3-1 in a 20 and a 19 horse field is 19 horses. I mean, that's not, you know, that's not really value. So the $2 bet that I created paid $462.24.
Hello.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, that's the value that we try to get across to people. But there's, you know, the people that play the horses, they understand it. You know, they try to hit the super perfectas, and I play pick fives and pick sixes, and those are the things that can pay $40,000, $50,000 or life-changing scores. But they're very hard to hit. So,
Joe Bent Strober, this is his first time being introduced to the old guard. So, Ben, do you and your young degenerates, do you play at that level? Do you understand what Joe's talking about?
Of course I do, because I have to hear about it all the damn time from everybody. Yeah. It's all some of my friends think about, talk about, and, you know, good. I kind of worry about them a little bit, because I think it's gotten a little out of hand for some of them, but, you know, that's not really my business. But, you know, it's entertaining. I think if it's keeping people involved and trying to grow sports, you know, like I see the value in that. And the Derby yesterday, I mean, that's exciting. How could you not, you know, want to have a little silk on the line for a race like that? That's fun. I get that.
Yeah, yeah. Vince Doc, I spoke to a friend on Friday. He sent me a text, and then I sent him a text back on the triple bet that I actually played, but I knew he wouldn't understand it. So I called him back to explain it to him. And he was so thankful about that, because he really didn't quite understand it. You know, so when you have that time to be able to teach somebody it, it's important. And I've done it in smaller venues to where, you know, but like Vince, you know how to do a 3-game parlay of a football game, basketball game. Mm-hmm. And in horse racing, what they're trying to do, and it could be available now, I don't know. You know, if you could have taken the Kentucky Derby winner with a hockey game and a basketball game that night and made it a 3-game parlay, you know, for like a $10 bet, you know what I mean? And post some sort of payoff for that. So for the entertainment purposes, for the younger players, I think that's great. If you're at the Derby, you know, everybody wants to know how to bet. But you're right. I mean, things have gotten a little out of hand on just how accessible it is to just pick up your phone and bet a soccer game at 4:00 in the morning.
Joe McKay, Kentucky Derby analyst, courtesy of the Rude Guest Hotline, the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV. And this has gone on, I think, of Coach Thompson every year, and what B. Mitch, Al, Smoking Al, Coke, and all the crew.
Dick Miller.
Yeah, Dan. Everybody would be going through doing the Derby because Coach wanted to play the numbers, have some fun with it. It's one of the most exciting things I've witnessed in person. Churchill Downs, the whole nine yards, all of this, and what it means, the tradition of it, and the dollars, and then 50 years later, the impact that Secretariat had on that event, to me, was mind-boggling.
Yeah, his his blood was in almost the whole field.
The entire field.
Yeah. If you can remember, so we talk about Coach Thompson, and I'll always remember that derby where you were on the show with us when Rex Chapman called in, because yes, Rex was doing games with Coach.
Yeah.
And Rex picked Giacomo, right, who's 50-something to one. And I couldn't fathom that. And Giacomo's trainer, John Sheriffs, had Baeza in there. But that was quite the day for Coach, because I know Coach had a few dollars on Giacomo. And then I messed up the trifecta that paid over $100,000 and some. I picked the second and third finishers, and some listener boxed all three and won like he won like half that. So yeah. I think it was ESPN 980.
Yeah.
One of the listeners won 50,000. So that was sweet.
That
can happen.
That was crazy. But that's real. And Ben, I'm telling you, man, this stuff really happened. We had some of the funniest moments over the last 30 years in radio have been as a result of the Derby. And so we thought it would be appropriate. Joe, how do people get in contact, get on your good side if they want to continue to play the ponies? Because, hey, what we just days, I mean, it's all about the Triple Crown. It's all about the next one. And that's what makes this so unique.
Yeah, yesterday was yesterday. A lot of people didn't have that. They want to know what's happening at the Preakness in 13 days. So on Facebook, I will, make a post. I don't have a Twitter handle anymore just because I got off of Twitter. I'm on Blue Sky. But on Facebook, I'm Joseph William McKay. And I always get the word out there, and if we're able to do a show the Friday or the Thursday before the Preakness, or folks can come in and see me, I'm behind the bar over Duke's Grocery in Potomac. I had a lot of customers writing down the plays that I was going to make from Monday, Wednesday, and Thursday, the nights that I was there. That was a lot of fun.
Well, that's cool. Well, we'll keep it. We'll keep the hope alive. Joe, we appreciate you, brother.
Thank you, Doc. Thank you, Vince.
Good deal, man. I know B. Mitch, JP, all the fellas, everybody sends their love.
We'll see you. We'll talk to you in a couple of weeks.
Okay, good deal.
May the horse be with you.
I'm just amazed at you, man. All right, brother. You just don't miss a beat. And I love that. And we'll get a little bit more involved in that. Look, game sevens, what was there? What didn't you get your whatever it is that turned you on? If you didn't get some of that throughout this, I mean, I'm almost a game seven junkie. I mean, it's just, I don't know if there's anything more riveting than watching elimination games and seeing some of the things that I witnessed last night. It was just amazing, absolutely amazing. And for the Dallas Stars,
Yes. Yes.
That was exhilarating. It was hard to go sleep.
Doc,
what it's all about.
One of my broadcasting buddies, he is a diehard Avalanche fan, and he is beside himself. He cannot believe that the player they traded away, their star player, to the East because they didn't want to have to see him in the postseason, found his way to playing the Avalanche. And then in a game seven, leads a third period comeback. He is so distraught right now.
Yeah,
and
the puck,
I feel bad for
luck.
The guy, but that is the agony of sport.
I could not take my eyes off of it. And I know Rooster is somewhere going cock-a-doodle-doo, but they call it puck luck. You cannot make it up. You cannot make it up. Two goals. Each team was responsible for one with a netminder head. He did nothing wrong. There was absolutely nothing he could do about it, but off a skate, off a chip, and it just happens. And you can't create that in any other sport. There's no other sport that is so uncertain that no matter what effort you give, you could still get your throat slit in it. And I don't mean that figuratively. I'm just saying it is the most thrilling thing that I can imagine. And that is in the fact that our guys are in it with a team that is built the right way. And it's not just about a record. And I ain't hating on the record. I'm glad for Ovi. All that's great. But we know that that's not what gets you to where you want to go.
Yep.
It's all those lines. It's everybody. And it's about sacrificing everything to block that puck. And it's about a defensive effort. Like it is in almost every sport, it's the defensive effort. If you want to be a champion, you got to D up. We'll take a break. We'll come back. Tom Lavero, bottom of the hour, the classic one. This is what it's all about. Game 7, win or go home. Stay with us.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something...
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and get up to 50% off with minimum purchase. Rules and restrictions may apply.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more and get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Welcome back to Overtime. Doc Walker, Ben Strober, on the microphone here with you. And it is it's rare air because that winner, go home, that game seven, this stuff is not fake. If you watch any of it, I don't know how you get better at sports than this. I mean, that the go fishing on, you know, the Turner, the post-game shows, we laugh, it's funny. But it's not funny when you're the favorite. Or the team expected to win, and then you get snapped. Or how about if you lose consistently in this moment? Even if you're wealthy, it's got to suck for you to walk in a room and be a millionaire and people think you gag in Game 7 environments. What say you, Ben?
That's exactly where we get into the point here with James Harden. Because, you know, Linnell brought up to the point where he's, you know, it's a narrative that has been created about James Harden and how he has struggled in elimination games throughout his career. And to his credit, he was having a great series. He had a really good Game 6, which is that, you know, elimination game. And then yesterday he goes 2-for-8 with 7 points. And as you, you know, you brought this to my attention, skipped out on the press conference, which, you know, is a weak move in my opinion. And it's going to continue that narrative for him because he's a first ballot Hall of Fame level basketball player, one of the most talented scorers of this entire era of basketball. Yet we have seen him shrink in the biggest moments so many times.
Yeah, I don't know where you stand. I'm all for a $1 million fine if you deny the public and journalists the right to complete their missions. Yeah, you know how much extra work that is when you've built your timeline around a guy's story and you're going to say this dude gagged and you know you're going to get something from him and then you're done.
And then he doesn't even comment.
You know how much work that is? We'll ask that to the legendary columnist Tom Levero, who will join us at the bottom of the hour. I think that's fair that everybody be held accountable, that if you're going to make the Bucks, and I thought James was, he was balling. I mean, he was on fire. I mean, he didn't look like Chubby Checkers. He was trying to play some D. He's another guy that holds talent hostage. He's the poster boy. Has been that for a minute. And so I never feel sorry for him when things don't work his way, because I think he has cheated the system, which is himself, for many, many years.
Linnell called him a bachelor.
I've never seen him as a guy that has been in top condition. No. Like Kawhi has been injured. I've never considered that as a result of his conditioning, ever. He's been unlucky.
Yeah.
But he fights back, and he's an absolute terror when he's on the court. His facial demeanor, he's even keel. He should have been a surgeon, a heart surgeon, because nothing rattles him whatsoever. He's Cool Hand Luke, and it's real. I don't think anything fake about it. But, and that's like being Popovich. He was the perfect guy to play for Pop. I mean, who's Pop's guys other than Tony Parker? And even Tony was able to rein it in. They're all able to do it because of how Pop trained them.
I think one of
we'll
the
most... We'll get to that a little later.
One of the most discredited things are, I guess, you know, it's so long ago, so people wouldn't really talk about it anymore because I guess it's 9 years ago, I believe, to this point. But when Zaza stepped on Kawhi's foot in the first round or second round, whatever that was, game one of that series a long time ago, that kind of like shifted the entire timeline of the league because the Warriors go on to win that series. They go on, they get KD after that. Kawhi leaves, great goes point. And wins a ring in Toronto. Great Everything point. Is different from that Everything. Moment. But I love Kawhi because...
Now, how old were you when that happened? 6?
Come on, I was not that young. I was 13.
You had to be 5 or 6.
I was 13, I think, or 12.
Okay.
I remember it happened while I was playing in my own like youth basketball game. I like heard about it on the radio after. I like how sometimes you'll bring up points and you'll say how I was in diapers when you were playing or something, and then you'll come on here and say that I'm like 7 years old.
Well, there is a rather large gap in our age.
Yeah, that's okay.
I know it's fine. It's beautiful. Beautiful. Because we get to cover a large swatch of time. And we get to, in effect, because you're the one that made the effort. It was easy for me. You made the effort. Well, everybody else was doing, you know, Tonka toys and building things. You was balling out here way out of your league, which is a tribute to you. You were the guy that was stretching. It was normal for me. But it is interesting. And these things now, it's hard not to pull for people know you're human. But it is with James right now. I'm disappointed. The Clippers, that game seven, I'm not supposed to turn on a tube. I'm supposed to see what I saw with Denver and Dallas hockey. That's what you look for in game seven. Down to the wire, a killer. Something that just breaks your heart or makes you love the game. I'm not supposed to see that. Ballmer flew in all those people. I think he's doing things the right way. But they say hail to the victor. And give in Denver, who's gone through, they lost the core of their organization, their head guy. Mm-hmm. They were gutted. And yet, they just Humpty Dumpty and the boys, they just keep getting it done. Then a lot to go through. And I like this because it's not just one sport. It prevails. It goes all the way through. And really the essence of sports. And who better to break it down for us? And we still got a lot. And then the off the field, the diamond, the ice deal with the stadium. Who doesn't love that? And the possibility of RFK2. And I say possibility because it's not a dunk until we're on the floor and playing in the game. Can't dunk and not have a game. So we'll see. Lavero joins us when we return to overtime.
Hey, everyone. Summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate, whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family. Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high-quality favorites, from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through two cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
If you don't know about flyer deals on Instacart, this message is for you. Flyer deals are like strolling through your favorite store looking for deals, but you're scrolling your phone and maybe you're in bed because getting delivery doesn't mean you have to miss deals like you'd get at the store, like the one creamer that doesn't make your stomach hurt or the pasta sauce you can't not buy when it's on sale. So download the Instacart app, shop flyers, and never miss a deal on one of your favorites. Plus, get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes.
Anyone who loves playing baseball or softball knows that one of the first steps in that journey is breaking in your first glove. It's where your love of the game began. Where does your child's baseball or softball journey begin? Go to playball.org to get started. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
On my podcast, Aspire with Emma Greed, we share the keys to succeed in business and in life. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Odyssey podcast, wherever you get your podcasts.
Guinness Book of World Records. The streak has been snapped. I was trying to set a record, and okay, we'll have to start again, and we'll start next year. Tom, I apologize to you. You know, you are my hero. Every year, New Year, people do New Year resolutions, the whole bit. And I'm going to try to have a mistake-free year. Well, that snapped. I have it written down. I have everything set. I said, Lavero, 2 p.m. And then I go and tell the young fella, the young Terp, well, why would I do that? You know, and you're a world-class journalist. You had to be shocked
Doc.
You tell a dude something, and then he throws you off kilter. Why would I do that?
Doc, I am on call to you 24/7, baby.
And I'll say this right now, and you can't see it because on my home notes, it does say 1:30 p.m. on my notes, and yet I told you 2 o'clock. And can I put this on aging? You, Tom, I'm going to lean on you right now and say, is this what happens when you age?
That's right, Doc. I am your elder, ain't I?
You are. Is this what happens? Because I'm looking at my phone. I go, okay, you just snapped a record. I got to wait now to 2024. And it says 2 p.m. And yet on my rundown, it says 1:30. And young Turp, what did I say to you?
1:30.
So, okay, streak is snapped.
Well, I don't know about you, Doc, but I'm getting younger.
You know what? You look like that's happening. And I'm not going to ask you what you're doing because I'm not sure it's legal, and I don't want you to incriminate yourself on national radio. But might it have anything to do with the potential move of the football team and the stadium back to RFK?
Well, I know that gives me a lot of columns for the next 5 years, so it could be.
Oh, but it's 5 years, and that's –
Well,
for you to say 5 years means that it would be going through and that you would be riding all the way through completion of the project. Is that what you believe?
Okay. I think, you know, it has a lot of momentum. It's hard to see opposition getting in the way. Now, you know, there will be residents who will speak up, rightly so, And there's a movement to put this on a ballot to put up for vote in D.C., and those almost never go the way of the stadium, no matter where they are. I mean, because like I've told you, most people, this is hard to believe, but most people are not football fans, you know? We live in this world where everybody around us is, for the most part, but you put it on a ballot for D.C. voters, and that's a little bit risky, but it would be a non-binding ballot. You know, the elected officials could still say, which they've done in other jurisdictions, they could still say, well, we're going to vote it in anyway. You know, we're going to go ahead and approve it anyway. There's just too much momentum. And I think the biggest, strongest momentum is the NFL commissioner. To have him at the press conference announcing this deal, and he's been very vocal in his support of the RFK site, I think that's going to be hard to overcome.
Yeah, I just think it's really, I mean, it's rare to have the backdrop, the nation's capital and what it represents. And to have that, to be able to bring the venue and the biggest that the NFL has to offer, that Super Bowl. And I've been listening, I'm a regular listener to our radio community. And I do agree that World Cup is a big item, big, big item. WrestleMania is a big, big item. The college football, the championship, all these things are big items. But I think that backdrop matters. More so with World Cup to me than any other thing other than Super Bowl. And I think all of that matters. And that location, that backdrop, and that monumental setting, I don't think anything can challenge it.
Well, I always tell people that when, like, they do Monday Night Football or Sunday Night Football or any kind of national broadcast of football, you know, in your city, that's a 3-hour commercial for the city. Mm-hmm. Okay? I mean, nobody would normally around the country think of Baltimore except when maybe the Ravens are on Sunday Night Football and they show clips of the, you know, the city,
the harbor,
and things like that. So it's always it's a commercial for the city. What's ironic is for 30 years, they've showed pictures of the Washington Monument and the U.S. Capitol and the Jefferson Memorial, which are 9 miles away from where the stadium is now.
Now they won't have to cheat. You know, they'll be able to show it all in one clip.
Yeah, that's a good point. That is a good point. And it also opens up the fact that the Nationals stadium was paid for by the District of Columbia. And I know there was been that fight, that tug of war between the O's and the rights. And it didn't seem to me from the outside looking in like the Nationals ever had their just due. Like they ever had full strength muscle power in this. Is that true?
Well, I'm not sure what you mean, Doc.
That they really had a right full-fledged financial strength with, it seemed like Peter Angelos and the group from the Orioles were like squeezing them or not allowing them to have full strength power or financial flexibility. From my standpoint, it's what I felt. I never felt like we had full strength to do all the things we needed to do to build a club the way we wanted or should have been able to build a club and build our power base.
Well, there's no doubt that the Nats lost out on some money because of the deal with the Mets and that the Orioles control, but not as much as they would like you to think.
Okay.
And the other consideration would be if the Nats had their TV rights on their own, how much better would they have done is up the question. There's no doubt they lost out. They lost money. But to use that as a crutch for their pathetic spending on this team for the past 5 years is just simply false.
Love it. Well, I tell you what, it's going to be very interesting where we stand and how this comes out, because it seems like now nobody can use anything as a crutch because it's open game. And it seems like you're going to have the right to build it and negotiate on your own to build your own right of financial strength. And then we'll see. I never necessarily thought of them as being cheap. I've understood how they had a method of doing business, but it seemed like they were able to get the big players that they needed to get or wanted to get. Is that wrong?
Yeah, at a time they were able to do that, but they're still in the baseball business. They're still baseball owners, and they keep telling their general manager Mike Rizzo when he comes to them with deals, and we're not talking big $100 million deals, that they can't do it. You know,
I feel you there.
A couple of key veterans here, reasonably priced veterans on this team. And they could be competitive, but they're going to fail to do that ultimately over 162 game season, and it'll be 5 years, 6 years since 2019.
And see, and again, that is the reality as to where we are right now. And you look at some of these kids. I look at Wood, and I think this guy seems like he's got all the right quote stuff. And you're looking at Mackenzie Gore, who'll be on the bump today, like guys who have some that right stuff. Budding, is this crop going to be able to, are we going to be able to see this crop grow and mature and have a chance to be champions?
Well, you mentioned two of their studs in James Wood and Mackenzie Gore. Absolutely. The benefits of the Soto trade are significant. The return that Mike Rizzo got for that is still remarkable.
CJ be throwing in on that the way Ruiz is now hitting. I'm looking at this guy, looks like the behemoth low at first base now. Seems like this is another thumbs up move. I'm just wondering, are we looking at something that has potential if it locks into gear?
But not this year, Doc. And again, every minute you waste that James Wood and Dylan Cruz is on the major league team means the clock is ticking, Doc. I mean, these players will leave at the end of 6 years when they can become free agents. There's nothing in the learner's track record to indicate that they'll be able to sign these guys, if they're worth signing, to long-term contracts. So you need to – it's like what the Commanders are doing with Jaden Daniels. He's on a rookie contract, and he ain't going anywhere, you know, when the contract is done probably.
Agreed.
But the Commanders are going to make the most of their quarterback while he's on that rookie contract. The Nationals should be making the most of these young players while they're here, because history tells you that they won't be here when their contract is up. So they're wasting time, valuable time of these top prospects by their slow, methodical, and questionable way of doing business.
Well, let's hope that there's a break in that action. Brother Levero, my bad. We appreciate all that you bring to the table. If you get a chance to see Brother Sheehan back from vacation, please send him our best.
Okay, boss. I'll do
all
that,
right, thank you, man. It's Tom Levero, the absolute legend. And don't forget, he has one of the best charitable foundations going. I am honored to have a part of that year in and year out. And Brother Levero, that is still, we would like to assume, is going to happen again and again and again. True to that, it would be cigars and curveballs. And it helps DC Gray's, something that Tom takes great interest in, and all of us. It helps young people play the game of baseball. And Levero has been an absolute soldier to that cause without reservations. So we'll give you more details on that as we continue to go. Break time, and we thank the Rude Guest Hotline, the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV, for his services. Back in a moment. Welcome back to Overtime. DOC, Ben Strober here with you. 106.7 The Fan, Team 980. What do you, you been keeping up with the Defenders?
I know they're playing well. They're 4-1, but right now they actually just gave up a touchdown, so they're going to be down 24-6 after the extra point. Not looking good for them, but I don't know the players. I know they had the whole thing with the head coach leaving right before the season started.
Yeah, Tennessee State, I think coach went to Tennessee State.
Mm-hmm.
That's been, I'm guilty, but they had a vibe.
Beer snake,
there was a
man.
Thrust of momentum. They were really good. They had the beer snake thing going. I just felt like, and then with the merger, and then I just felt like it's like a balloon popped, or some helium was released, or it just, and it's young. It's still early. It's early. And then catching myself, you know, watching some preseason Mystics and Fever, and without Caitlin playing at all. And then trying not to be upset that they kind of let one get away. And trying to tell myself, hey, self, it's preseason. It doesn't matter. But then I said, but that's not true, because had they won, I'd feel great. So you can't say it doesn't matter when they don't win, or like I feel like they let a 10-point lead slip away.
You've always had strong feelings about preseason. I know that from listening to you call Commanders games in the preseason. I remember one time, we scored a touchdown. I think Brian Robinson's first preseason touchdown. He was great on that drive, and then missed the extra point. And you got really angry they missed the extra point. You were like, of course. This is what always happens. And so, this story that you're telling now with the Mystics preseason, you getting frustrated, that checks out. I can see it.
Well, I was pissed off. And I kept thinking to myself, why am I sitting here on the couch irritated as heck that we had what I thought was a comfortable, and really that's just an ignorant statement. In sports, in a competitive arena, nothing's comfortable. But I kind of felt like, well, we got this. And I'm going back disappointed, looking at the clips, just throw up all over themselves. And then again, that Dallas stars watching Game 7, which is, I'm Game 7 junkie, and I'm watching the Avalanche, and the storyline is just, couldn't write a better storyline, but to actually watch it. And then, you know, people say, well, you know, you can't predict hockey. Well, you can't predict that puck. And they call it puck luck. I get it. But to actually watch it happen, and then you see what makes it so fantastic. And then to realize how many people that you know personally don't get it, who haven't even given it a chance. And if they would just watch it, and if they have any competitiveness in their system, you're hooked. How do you not like it? How can you not be absorbed by a puck when it's in these situations? And then for me, it's like, how can you not play to win? And do you say it's preseason, practice, whatever? I don't understand that. Because I know what's going to happen if you let that seep in. I could hear it in your voice this morning just talking about Harden. You can't stand him now.
I've been off on James Harden for plenty of years. And it's, I don't know if this is an indictment on me as a sports fan, as somebody that has opinions on sports, but yeah, it almost feels like a victory lap for me when I see it happen again, because I keep telling everyone what is going to happen when it comes to the postseason with him, and nobody ever believes me. Everybody says I'm crazy, and then it happens again.
But it can't possibly be on purpose, and yet I'm watching what you watch. I actually was happy for him when he had Game 4. I think he really went off. And then I look at him and physically, and I go, is he really in the best shape he could be in? Well, same thing with Luka.
Luka's, I got a lot of opinions about.
He's a hell of an athlete. But I'm saying to myself, what is he doing that I don't know? They knew in Dallas.
He's another guy that I'm chalking down right now, is until I see visible change in the way he approaches.
What do you want to see, his body change?
Or
is it his mind?
Both. I think they intertwine.
Some dudes are just built a certain way.
No, Luka doesn't play any defense. You can see it in his effort, and I feel like that effort is a translation of what he does in the offseason.
Okay, so this is where we'll have a great debate.
Mm-hmm.
Because we tend to blame the player. That's like the children and the parent. I blame the parent for allowing the child access. So Joker has been allowed to get to where he's at. That's what makes this fantastic. 1-800-636-1067. Then nobody wants to take credit for it. I'm not mad now at the, you're talking about to go back to Dallas, and I'm the GM. I got a new owner. I now have a new boss. Do I want my first impression with a new boss to be that I let some lazy slob ruin my job? No way in Haiti, my friend. Not going to happen. We'll carry this to the next hour, because it's worthy of that. And you know what? I'll even do something better than that. We'll ask a former NBA champion what he thinks. Tony Massenburg is going to join us, because he'll know, a champion will understand what's expected. And I'll tell you what, I don't know where you stand on this. I hate to see Pop out, but he deserves the right now to live a life and to be healthy. But he always impressed me, even though he represented some teams that I was hoping we'd beat. But he won more than I wanted him to. Stay with us. We'll be back. To have our next guest in as a counselor on this. And courtesy of the Rude Guest Hotline, the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV, Tony Massenburg, NBA champion, is back with us. And T-Mass, young Ben Strober and I were just debating about this time of the year, the game sevens of the world, one, you know, win or go home, as the boys used to say on TNT, these pressure games. And then when I heard that Pop was finally saying this, all of us eventually have to depart, I couldn't wait to get you on the phone and hope that you were in town, because one of your best qualities to me is that you have been in so many different competitive environments, which makes you so unique in your assessments. And I just wonder, what impressed you most about Coach Pop?
You know, a couple of things, really. I look at Coach Popovich and I see a coach who obviously has extensive knowledge of the game and is able to make adjustments as good as any coach in in-game situations that I've ever seen in history. I mean, he's great at making those adjustments, whether it be at halftime or during the game or adjustments for the next game after a playoff, you know, during a series. He's great at game-to-game adjustments. He's great at play-to-play in-game adjustments. So I love that about him, his ability to look at things, see the problem, dissect it, and make the changes in real time. And also, I think one of his most unique qualities that probably goes under the radar is his ability to relate to players. I think he's probably one of the best at figuring out personalities and figuring out how to get the best out of that player. He doesn't approach everybody the same way. The only thing that's universal about Coach Popovich and his approach toward each and every one of his players is when he holds them accountable. Accountability from the book of Greg Popovich is universal. He would treat Tim Duncan, David Robinson, Tony Parker, Manu Ginobili, he would go at those guys as hard as he would go at the 12th guy on the bench or the guys on injured reserve or whoever. If you're in that organization, whether you are the star player or you are the last man on the bench, he will hold you accountable in certain situations. And what that does is that fortifies the culture that they built there in San Antonio. And it lets everybody know that there are certain things that everybody is going to be viewed the same on. And when you talk about defense and being a good teammate and being professional every day and respecting the organization and respecting your teammates, yeah, those are things that are universal across the board in the way that he deals with his players. And so that's why I think when you look at the Spurs organization over the years, they have done a great job of having players who don't seemingly get into a lot of trouble, don't have off-the-court issues, and guys who seemingly come there sometimes that are unknown, but once they get into the Spurs organization, then they can start to make a name for themselves because Pop is great at getting the best out of every player that comes to play for the San Antonio Spurs.
Tony, you segued this perfectly in the points you've echoed here about accountability. And that just kind of brings me into the conversation here about Luka Doncic, because you know he gets his butt kicked on defense for five games. You know, the situation, he's traded out of Dallas because of, you know, concerns about his condition, his weight, whatever it want to be. I mean, what's the Lakers' next move here with Luka? Does there need to be some form of accountability here? Because I have such strong reservations about Luka Doncic as a player and if he can really be a champion in this league.
Well, we're going to find out whether or not he can do what it takes to be a champion. And one of those things that you have to, that I've always seen, I'm not going to even say it's my opinion so much as it's just basically what I have seen with different champions that I've been around. Champions submit to their conditioning and having their body in the best possible shape that they can for as long as they can, because they understand that in order to fully eclipse your potential, you have to put yourself in a position where, from a conditioning standpoint, you are at a max level. You are getting the most that you can get out of the body that you have been gifted with. And some guys, clearly, as we know across the board in all sports, some people are more physically gifted than others. Some guys are bigger, stronger, and faster. Some guys get it done with their intellect and their know-how in the way of utilizing their skills. Some guys play the game with a very high skill level and don't rely as much on their athleticism, and vice versa. Some guys are excellent athletes who have honed their skills good enough to a point where they can still be exceptional because they're exceptional athletes. Well, Luka Doncic is not an exceptional athlete as much as he is an exceptional basketball player. He is highly skilled at his size. He's a solid athlete, but he's not one of those guys that you would put in the category of being one of the best pure athletes in the NBA. But he is one of the best basketball players in the NBA. But I believe that in order for Luka to really take that next step to be able to help the Lakers win a championship, he's going to have to be the best player on the Los Angeles Lakers. And in order to do that, you have to be in the best shape that you can possibly be in. And I have been somebody who's been on record from day one about Luka needing to get into better shape, because that's something that a lot of young players have to understand when they first come into the league. You come into the league and you think you're in good shape, but when you start talking about being one of the best in the most elite basketball league in the world, which is the NBA, that is going to require you to push all your cards to the table, so to speak, from a commitment to your body, a commitment to working on your skills and getting better every summer, as well as a commitment to trying to make a difference on the defensive end. That's the key word, trying to make a commitment on the defensive end, because some guys are better defensively than others, but you always have to have that mentality that you're going to play the defensive end as best you can and continue to excel offensively.
Well, Tony, just to follow up real quick on that, he's due for that big Supermax extension. Should the Lakers get out of the Luka business now?
I wouldn't say they should get out just now, because I would really like to see what Luka does this summer. Let's just think about this.
Okay.
He basically was booted from the Dallas organization because they didn't believe that he was committed 100% to being in the best shape that he could possibly be. There were things about his lifestyle off the court that they are saying, like, okay, this is not what the all-time greats, the all-time champions in this league, guys who have won multiple championships. One thing that most of them have in common is that they have committed to a certain level of fitness that would enable them to play their best for as long as they could. The Dallas Mavericks didn't believe in Luka in that regard. And so now he's in the spotlight playing with a guy that he idolized in LeBron James, who, again, has set the standard for investing in your body and trying to be the best version of yourself for as long as you can. So if Luka doesn't pick up something from that, if we don't see a more in shape, more focused, more determined Luka next season, then I think the Lakers have to consider maybe not investing in him in the way of a supermax, and understanding maybe they won't be able to get the best out of him either. But this is going to come down to what Luka personally wants to commit to, because he's the only one that can get himself to that next level.
But doesn't Pelinka take some of the hits? They've got a young kid at the end of the bench that doesn't seem to be an NBA caliber player. His old man right now is that, an older guy who's not a great shooter, can no longer control the game physically. They're a basketball team without anybody that's really tall and can play in the point. They're a mess. And so, and I don't know what people, and look, and I'm pulling for them, and I realize now it's done. They're lucky they got as far as they did, and I don't see it getting any better. And I'm wondering, what am I looking at that others aren't paying attention to? They're
well,
done.
I think a lot of people, Doc, I think a lot of people, and again, I have personally gotten some criticism from not being one of those guys who just thinks that the Lakers are going to be in the finals because they're the Lakers. I have called it as I have saw it for years now with the Los Angeles Lakers, dating back to them being in the bubble. And after that bubble championship, what I saw was a team that lacked the defensive tenacity to be great and go far. And again, we have been talking about playoff basketball for years. You and I have talked about it back and forth.
Right.
What is the one thing you have consistently heard me say about teams that go deep into the playoffs? What's the one common denominator for teams that win championships? They're all above average defensively. They're above average. And they rebound. So in order to be a great defensive team, you've got to have some defensive-minded people. You always hear me say that.
They go bad.
Luka's not defensive-minded. LeBron is defensive-minded sometimes, but not all the time. That's not what LeBron has been known for. LeBron has not ever been a defensive player of the year, and I'm not really sure if he's ever been all defense. I would have to look that up because it's not something that
he's capable of it.
He's
but that's not what he's focused on.
And that's not who we know him to be. So we have never really said LeBron is a quote unquote two-way guy. When we say two-way player, we think of Kawhi Leonard, right? There are other players that we think of. Even Ant-Man, I think, is more of a two-way player probably
he
anybody on the Lakers entire team.
Mike and Kobe.
So that has always that's always been my knock on the Lakers. They don't play defense. And even when they got Luka, I said, okay, well, that's great offensively. I want to see Luka and LeBron play as much as anybody play together. Mm-hmm. But my concern was always they do not defend very well. So there was a slight uptick in their defense toward the end of the season, and people, you know, everybody jumped on the bandwagon, and I softened my stance a little bit because I saw them like, okay, if they can just be competitive defensively, they can be great offensively with these two guys, and maybe they can go somewhere like that. I didn't think they'd go to the championship, but I thought they would get past the first round. So until that happens, Doc, until I can look at the Los Angeles Lakers and say they are considerably better on the defensive end, combined with, you know, a Luka and a LeBron and a consistent third guy. They don't have that. I like Austin Reeves. I think he's a good player. I like Rui Hachimura. I think they're solid. But they're not guys that I would look at and say that they're the third guy in what the Lakers need in the way of a big three. I don't see that either. So you end up being heavily reliant on Luka and LeBron. And I'm sorry, but as we just saw, that is not going to be enough in today's NBA.
Who wins game 7 tonight? Houston, Golden State.
I think it favors the Warriors because they have been there. But again, this Houston team, and I give a lot of props to Coach Ime Udoka because I think he's done a great job of infusing his personality as a player and the culture that he comes from. Again, another Coach Popovich disciple, another guy off that Popovich tree who has done great things with the opportunities that he's had. Limited opportunity in Boston, but got them to the championship in the championship round in his first year. He comes to Houston and does a 360 with that organization. They were not very good before he got there. And then, you know, you saw the change happening. You saw them get better on the defensive end. You saw them draft the right guys. And now you're starting to see, like, okay, this is an up-and-coming team. And they're going to continue to be up and coming until they're able to break through in a situation like tonight where they beat an experienced Warriors team in a game 7. But until I see that happening, I'm going to go with the veteran leadership and the championship pedigree that the Warriors have. And I'm going to say I favor the Warriors tonight. But if they lost, I would not be surprised. I would not be surprised if they lost. But I am, if you're asking me, I'm saying I think the Warriors have the experience, and if Steph Curry can not be bothered by the thumb injury, if Jimmy Butler can look, you know, like playoff Jimmy, and if you get contributions from the likes of Draymond and some of the others, I think that combined with a healthy, semi-healthy Steph Curry playing the way that he normally plays, I think that's game 7 favors the Warriors.
A whole lot of ifs. We'll be holding you your feet to the carpet on that one, T-Mass. Love your work,
all
man.
Good.
Thank you.
All okay. good. Thank
well,
you, brother.
You'll be
Thank
back you. To defend it. I know you will.
Oh, I will. I will. Hey, listen, I never say anything that I don't believe. I believe the Warriors will win, but I wouldn't be surprised if they didn't. But if I'm gonna bet, man, I would bet on the Warriors tonight.
Yes, indeed. Okay, well, good. Well, I'll hold you up on that one. We'll do a beverage on that because I'm going with Rockets.
There you go. All good.
Good deal. All right, brother. Appreciate you. That is
all right. Thanks, Doc.
Former NBA champion. That's right. Thank you. Does a hell of a job. All the NBA coverage, monumental. My man, Terp, Tony Massenburg. We'll go to break. We'll come back. Give you the chance to light it up on the MGM National Listener Line, 1-800-636-1067. And then me and Ben will put the gloves on and go after it. I'm sure we'll disagree, but that's what makes it fun. We'll be back. Always free. I love that, man. Can you imagine being so good at what you do? You can just say, yo, it's free. The Odyssey app. And usually people give you things free. They don't lack features. This is loaded with features. Come in, find the time. It's loaded. I'm still trying to figure it out. How something so good could be free. 1-800-636-1067 is the number. And let's get to the line. Jonesy, what up?
What's going on, Doc? How you feeling today? Keep up the K-9? Everything good?
You know what? It's good. If you know what some you know how this business goes. So there's times where you have got to deal with it. And this is one of those things where I mean, we got game sevens, we got all kind of action, man. It's all good. What's on your mind?
I think Jonesy? He dropped out.
Isn't that the best? If it were anybody else, they'd be in panic mode now. It's all good. If Jonesy's such a pure soldier.
Well, you know what? I have good news, Doc.
Okay.
We got Chris in Damascus. He's ready.
Oh, man. Christopher.
Yes, sir. You got me?
How are you?
I'm fine. I missed the Rivero thing. I had to do something during that segment.
We have the Odyssey app. You didn't miss it. You can go get it.
No, I don't. Well, I'm not. I'm a farmer, but I'm not doing a lot of apps and all that computer stuff.
Well, there's somebody in your family that will be able to.
I get
pull
it. Yeah, I get it. Yeah, because Rivero's great, too. But anyway, yeah. Doc, come on now. You're picking the Rockets? You're picking the Rockets?
Yeah. I am. If Steph, here's the deal. If I have an archer, he's an archer, and he tells me that his eye, he's lost an eyeball or hand. I mean, he's the greatest shooter of all time, and his shooting hand is injured.
Yeah, that's true.
So, I don't need you to endorse me. I took the Rockets.
Okay.
And Draymond will probably get kicked out. And, that's
well,
just the way I'm
taking
it.
Massenburg's great. Rivera's great. I'm sorry I missed it. I'll try to catch it back up. I'm waiting on the Nats game, kind of listening to the O's right now, and the Orioles trying to get their bats together and their pitching together. But
Gore.
Anyway.
Who don't? Nobody wants to miss Gore and Martinez on the bumps going after it.
There you go. And so, yeah, that's my jam. And I appreciate the horse racing dialogue, too, as well. And that because, Doc, baseball is my number one. But those 2 minutes when those horses take off when the Derby is being a farm boy up here with cows and horses and whatever, they're beautiful. It's beautiful. And, but anyway, but it's unusual for you to usually put out a prediction on anything, and I'm looking forward to what y'all.
Well, it was we were making our opinions about a game seven.
I
do that all the time. I will give you my opinion who I think is going to win.
If it's fourth and one, I'm betting on you. But
well, here's the deal. World Grant is going to be up.
Hey, you know what I learned about, I forgot about World Grant, was that he went from O-line to D-line.
Yeah, he did. He went from center, snapper, defensive tackle, center in the wedge, asked Mike Nelm, B. Mitch, guys that were recipients.
Jay Lane is going to be
pure Neanderthal.
I know what he. I know all that. Like I said, fourth and one, I'm betting on you, and I'm not going to not do that ever. And I just wanted to say that. And keep up the good work. And we need more Doc on this show. And I heard you that Friday night. I heard you the draft, and you were assessing the draft when Toby and your buddy there were on the radio at about midnight. And you called in, and I couldn't have laughed so hard in my life, and you honored me. You honored me. Well, that was funny.
Christopher, we
and
appreciate
you,
man. Appreciate you. Keep doing what you're doing. And all of us at the station, man, we all of this evolves around our listeners.
Hey, surprise, surprise, Doc.
Yep.
Jonesy is back.
And we got time. That's right. We can get him in. All right, Christopher. Appreciate you, man. K9 for life. Jonesy, what up?
Doc, hey, sorry about that. Don't know what happened here, but check this out. What you mentioned about the Game 7 thing. What I want to talk about is the Avalanche and the Stars. And
unbelievable.
Yes, indeed. And the Clippers game, man. I was kind of pulling for the Clippers, but I knew for some odd reason they would fizzle out. Here's the thing. And I see there's some little similarities in both teams because, and here's the similarity. They had a guy in their building, both teams, who they thought was not important, be the ones to come back to hurt them in these games. Russell Westbrook and the other guy that was with the Avalanche, who they thought was not important.
Well, yeah, but they didn't want to pay. They knew what he could do. It was about paying him, and other people weren't necessarily wanting to pay a guy for his services. There was no hate in that. That's financial. I never, ever begrudge a group for not wanting to pay someone. That's business.
Indeed. Because to me, that was like, both looking at those games reminded me of back when we let Venus walk from the first team goal. He goes up there to the Eagles and he comes back to haunt you. That is that right there. Like I was listening to my boy earlier and said, yeah, his friend was distraught for who's an Avalanche fan. Well, yeah, I know that feeling. I know that feeling because we felt it here with the Bergen goal, and we saw B Mitch catch a punt for the Eagles and run it back into the end zone. It was almost like he just got punched in the face.
Exactly. That was a great moment.
Go sit in the corner until the doctor can come see you.
Yeah, that was a great moment. Jonesy, I'm up against the clock, man. Got to pay some big bills.
Go do that.
Appreciate you. And don't forget, hey, Jonesy, World Grant is next. So stay tuned.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, I won't be hanging up.
Stay tuned. Yeah, you want to know what RFK means to a man that had one of the more iconic plays in Burgundy and Gold history. He joins us courtesy of the Rude Guest Hotline next. Boy, so much in a story that I want to teach young Ben Strober, who's the youngest in charge now. He has earned that deal now because Toby is, he's an old man compared to Ben. And that other guy is ancient compared to Ben. What's his name? Linnell Willingham. He's ancient now. And because of our good friends at Rude, we are now able to bring on a brother that I just adore. He's one of the reasons I have a Super Bowl ring. And it's because of this guy is the reason that I don't pay attention to drafts. this guy is the reasons I don't pay attention to scouting reports. This guy right here is the reason I don't listen to anybody talk about prospects. I go to camp when they put the pads on, and that's when I do evaluations because of this guy, who is pound for pound the baddest you-know-what I have ever seen in a football uniform. And that is Darryl Worrell Grant. K-9, welcome to the program.
Thank you so much, Doc. It's a pleasure. And thank you for all those great words. I appreciate it very much. Thank you so much.
You earned it because, I mean, if you walk on a scale, now if you walked up with all these measurements and they measured you at 6'1", and said 269 pounds. I wonder what the drafters and all the XYZ and ABCDEFG reports would say about you. And you played not one, but Ben Strober, I want you right now listening. Because this brother right now on the end of the phone played three positions in the NFL and drafted in what round?
Ninth round. I think it was 285 or something like that.
Yeah, 285, fifth round, and played center, tackle, middle of the wedge for two of the greatest return men in NFL history in that lunatic Nelms and that other lunatic Mitchell. And that's all. And what I'm saying, I'm so proud of him because when they mention RFK, what visual comes to my mind is this dude here about to bust a football with it, slamming it in what many believe is the greatest moment in burgundy and gold football history. Following the interception, the tip, the knockout of a Cowboy quarterback, and a victory over the Dallas Cowboys. Now, so I'll ask you, Worrell.
Yes, sir.
What goes through your mind when you hear that RFK 2.0 could become a reality?
Well, I think it's a great idea. I mean, as long as it'll benefit the city, I think it's a cool deal. I hate to see the old stadium go, but it needs to go. So if it comes back, you know, that'll provide a lot of jobs for people in D.C. So, you know, I think that's a great thing. I mean, you know, they're talking stadium or they're talking redeveloping the community. You know, that's cool. I mean, but I would like to see it come back to D.C. and, you know, revitalize that energy that we had.
I've got to ask you before Ben jumps in on this one. What made the team so special in your mind? Because I see similarities. I love what the Commanders are putting out now. I absolutely love it because it reminds me of the clubs that we were a part of. And I wonder, what do you get from when you see the Commanders do their thing now?
What I see is unity, and I see a lot of hard work, and obviously the management is doing a great job, and the coaches are bringing players in. I mean, they're actually, to me, filling their needs out. They're filling out the key places where they need a little help. I mean, they got so close last year, and I think with the acquisitions, and you got the big boy on the blind side, I think if they can stay healthy, they can do much more than what they did last year and probably take it all. I think there's a possibility of that. But, you know, as far as the stadium and the excitement, it would be nice to put it back in D.C. But I know there's a lot of people fighting it, and I know it's a lot of money issues and all kinds of things going on. But that's the way I remember it. So I love RFK Stadium, and that's just how it is, man. That's history.
You talk about the unity and the parallels between the team, of course, where you're a Super Bowl champion with, and then what the Commanders are putting forth now. What kind of similarities can we draw from Dan Quinn and Joe Gibbs? Are you getting a sense of similarity that's led to the success that is similar to your playing days, or is there a difference that you see?
I don't really see a difference. I think the head coach, I really like him. I like his staff. You know, I like pretty much everything that I see happening over there. So, you know, and I haven't been able to say that in quite a while. And I like the movement, the enthusiasm, the excitement. You know, players are coming to work to go to work, and that's a good thing. And it's not a lot of side trash. You know, the keeping focus, and I like the energy because that's what we had, and we were brothers, man. My teammates, we're all brothers, man. We all got along. We all knew that we wanted to come together for a purpose, a common goal, and we went out and we had a great time. We all hung out with each other, and you know, so on game day, you know, we could look each other in the eye and say, "Hey, look, we're gonna get it today. We're gonna do it. Let's do it."
I try to explain to people that when your sparring partner is a gold jacket guy, I mean, Russ Grimm basically kicked everybody's behind he played against right. in the league in the regular season.
Right.
Because he had to wrestle. He wrestled you and Sweet Pea in practice. And I really believe that when your practice is rougher than the games, you end up in playoff mode, and you just end up better prepared. And I don't know if there's a correlation between boxers and their sparring partners or not, but there's got to be something, because all I hear about all this push and pull, all this powder puff practices that we had, not now, but that we had in the previous regime, and they didn't bust a grape on game day. And I know we watched and we were a part of so much contact throughout the Gibbs regime, and it ended up in Lombardi trophies.
Absolutely. You know, I went against Russ, and you know, he's got the gold jacket. Everybody knows mm-hmm. that. We went against Russ and Jake and Bosto every day, and Jake should be in the Hall of Fame too, because yeah. I had to go against both of those guys too, and those were outstanding players, and it does make a difference who you practice against. Absolutely. Practice against Russ every day, in and out. When I played, there was no player that I could play against. I played against a lot of other Hall of Famers, and I had nice days on them. And that was what led me to say, "Look, you've been over here 1 year on defense, so you're actually a rookie, and you're whooping everybody's ass." And you know, excuse my language, you know, over there, I said, "Wow, this is cool." And then I had those guys to practice against. So everything else lined up after you practice against them, man. It just got you ready, man. That's how we practice. And we practice full speed all the time.
Yeah, I mean, you know, when you think about live goal lines on Fridays, people look at you down like you're insane. You look at our 9-on-7 drills, and I'd watch those things. You go, I mean, I just observe so many things that didn't make sense to me watching it. And then I realized that when you don't have football people running your operation, you have right. no chance to be successful. Right. It's not a job or position for people from the outside world. You have to have football people that have actually been through it, or you have no chance. I don't give a crap how close you are with your family. If they're not involved in football, and you have no chance. And we watched it damn near for 30 years go backwards. Backwards. And it's painful when you were part of the process and you saw it go forward. That's right. just my personal sentiment on it, how painful it has been. And that's why I couldn't wait to get guys like yourself who had been through it and saw it done the right way. And it had to be equally painful for you just while watching. Most guys didn't even want to go to the games.
That's true. That is true. I mean, it's just a refresh with the ownership, you know, all the way down. It's just refreshing. It has a different feel. than previous management. It has a whole different feel. It seems as though they're more welcoming now to us, because a lot of us felt that the past ownership didn't respect us. They really didn't appreciate us. And a lot of us, you know, a lot of my brothers felt the same way. And they're trying with this new organization. Because I've been in other organizations where, you know, it was teams that didn't even had never won a Super Bowl, and I was with their team, and they were just laying all kind of stuff out, nice stuff, and having them. They had one group had their own sky suite, so you know that was other teams. But this excitement that they're bringing back to the area is wonderful. Great quarterback, obviously. They added Debo, and they've got like I said, the big blindside tackle.
Yeah, he may play any side he want to, man. So
right.
Can't wait.
Right. I can't wait to see you.
Yeah, can't wait to see you, person world, and hopefully, we'll get a chance to see this project kick off at the old site, and then it'll become the new site. Appreciate your contribution, man. Thank you.
All right, thank you.
That's Darrell World Grant, 077 on the cover of Sports Illustrated with the spike of all spikes back at old RFK. Stay with us. We'll be back. Oh, boy, that rude guest hotline been on fire, man. We thank you for providing World Grant to the program, and he's real. And I'll tell you what, man, it's Bobby Bethurst in the Hall of Fame because he had a knack. And this is what I trust our people. Personnel people are so valuable. You can't run around getting people reading press clippings. You get people that went in and surveyed practices, know how to watch game footage, know what they're looking at. And a lot of it has to do with when you watch them talk about our third round pick out of Mississippi State, corner. Read it. And then watch him. You'll see. So important, man, to who the evaluators are, what they're evaluating, and how it fits your scheme. Every player doesn't fit every scheme, no matter how talented the player may be. This is another thing this group does a great job of, identifying fits. Then it's a lot of it's up to the player. Go ahead, get off your chest, man. I know you got something.
I just feel good that I can have confidence now. We got football guys that are making football-related decisions. We have a real leader of men, real culture within our football organization. And it's a good feeling. Yeah, it's something I'm not used to, but I'm starting to like it, and I don't want to go backwards, like you say.
Well, it's also, we talk about the negatives of NLI. The benefit is that a guy's not going to come here and lose his mind now because he got a little paper. Hell, he's coming here now to get pay cut. So because they're used to money. That's new for us.